for Marianne Mecki and her family. Lord, I thank you for Lauren and the godly life that he lived and the memories that he left. Lord, so be it with all of us, that the legacy would live on and the example of what it means to be a man of God continues and reproduces itself in the lives of our children and grandchildren and friends and those that know us. Lord, I pray that you would, as we take some time today to take a look at what it means to be a biblical father, that you would impress upon the men that responsibility of standing before you and listening and heeding your instructions, and then praying for the fruit that comes when we do what you tell us to do. Lord, I lift up our children to you, and that's what it's all about. Father's Day is about the kids. It's about children. Being a father means you have kids. Lord, I pray for these children, especially our Shabbat school kids right now as they're out preparing something special to bring back to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would use them and speak through them to all of us today, that we would hear your voice in them. And I pray, Lord, for their protection, and I pray that we would do our part in this congregation of training and raising them up and to be that they might be godly men and women. And we give you the rest of this time this morning and thank you and praise you for this beautiful day and the praises and the worship of fellowshipping with you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, there's no end to what the Bible says about being a father. Jerry, what was my title this morning? I'm really lousy at titles. What did I call this? You remember that? You don't remember that either, huh? Okay, you forgot too. Well, see, we had the same problem. Something to do with what is it? What are fathers to do? To do. That sounds like, what's his name? Well, that cat, right? To do. What is there to do? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about what it means to be a father. And it's not all good news, okay? What I mean by that is, it certainly isn't easy. And isn't it amazing that all of a sudden that most people are given this responsibility when they're really young? Right about my age now is when I'm just getting the hang of what all this stuff means, okay? And so, do you know that I'm on the verge of great-grandchildren? You know, my granddaughter is 17. That's right on the edge of maybe being 18 and maybe getting married soon. And that causes me some, you know. But I'm just now getting the hang of some of this. And you look back at lots of mistakes in the past. And if I only knew, I would do it different. Okay, I'd do it better. And we could all say that, right? We could. We'd do it different. We'd do it better next time. There's not a next time. And you know what? That's why it's important we teach our children now when they're children, the junior hires, the high schoolers, how to be a father, how to be a dad, what that means, how to be a husband, how to be a godly man. If you're a godly man, you're on the right track. And the rest will start falling in line. But you have to know the scriptures, know the word. What does God say about these things? And he says a lot about them. And there's accountability. And it falls on the shoulders of the men. It falls on the shoulders of the men. Over and over and over and over again in the scriptures, what does it say for the men to do? Teach the children. Teach them what? Okay, this morning what I read as we began the service, you probably thought it was the Shema out of Deuteronomy 6, right? Well, it wasn't. It was out of Deuteronomy 11. God keeps saying the same stuff over and over again. Teach. In fact, in that section, it talked about it twice. Teach your children. But teach them what? It says teach them the word. In fact, let me read that part once again. Some of you came in a couple of seconds late, so we'll do it again. Therefore, okay, you will lay up these words of mine in your heart. Men, that's step number one. You lay up the word of God in your heart. Okay, what do some men do? Go ask your mom. Okay? Go ask your teacher. Men, you are the teacher. Okay? You better know the answer. You are the teacher. Lay up these words of mine. What words? God's words in your heart. Well, you know, the Shema is a focal point, isn't it? If it's in your heart, it's in you. Okay? It's a part of you. And in your soul. Well, just to make the point, in your deepest, most inner being, God's word needs to be alive there. That's the start right there. and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach. This is a commandment. You want to know all the 613 commandments, or whatever really number that really is? Okay? It's close. It's about that. This is a commandment of God. You will teach the Word of God to your children. By the way, every time these verses show up, cover to cover in the Bible, you know what gender they're in? They're always masculine, which means it's for the men. It's for the men. Who ends up being the teachers? We love women teachers, but men, it's your primary responsibility to take the bull by the horns and teach the kids. Okay? And I mean not only at home, in Shabbat school too. We need men teachers, men examples, men role models. What it means to be a godly man. Well, I'll come back to that, believe it or not, in a minute here. Okay. And when are you supposed to do this? You're supposed to teach them to your children, speaking of them. You're to be talking about God, men. You're to be talking about God. When? Oh, look at this. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Oh, okay. First thing in the morning. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, what's really neat is my grandkids take this more than literal. You know, we do have a mezuzah, but we have more than a mezuzah. Our grandkids write scriptures and stick them on the door, on the doors of our house, okay? The mezuzah's not enough, and that's really cool. They write out Bible verses and tape them on our door. We come home and there's a new verse on the door, okay? Okay. They really do that. I think that's really neat, just so you don't forget, okay? I think that's neat. Okay, it tells you something about the grandkids, doesn't it? And you do this that your days and the days of your children might be multiplied. What's that got to do with it? There's something about living a godly life that actually adds longevity of life, quality of life, fruitfulness of life. It's healthy. It's actually physically healthy to lead a godly life. See, but all the different sins that we get listed that we do can actually shorten our life. There's a lot of ways that happens, okay? But longevity of life comes with living a life that's pleasing to God. And again, it's to teach your children. Teach your children. Teach your children. Well, cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament, we keep saying the same thing. So men, how are we doing? So what was my title again? What was that about? What did I say this was? Oh, what's a father to do? To do. So how are we doing? What are we supposed to do? Okay? The kids are all gone, right? Nope, there's one there. No, I just want to make sure they're gone, okay? Right now. Because a person made a statement to me once that if I say it the way they said it, it makes a little bit more sense. And I probably want the kids gone for at least part of this. Okay? But anybody can make a baby, okay? Okay, anybody, any healthy person can do this. But one time I was talking when I was a Navy chaplain over at Long Beach at the base to this young woman, and we were discussing, and she had a child, and I happened to bring up about the father. Okay, her statement was kind of like this, and there's some reality to this. Okay, the reality was she named some name, and she said, I'm quoting, okay, I wouldn't normally say stuff like this, but she said so-and-so was the sperm donor. She didn't say he was the father. But Frank, he's the father. He's their father. See the difference? Anyone can make a baby, but it takes a different kind of a person that takes upon himself the responsibility to do these things, to be a father. It's not necessarily by blood. Okay, although that's God's plan. However, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes people don't take upon themselves the responsibility, you know, and they don't want children, they don't want babies, and they don't want the responsibility of one when it comes. But there are others who will say, you know what? I love you. And this is your child, and I'm going to be this child's father. You know, Marianne was talking about adopting and how all that works. Well, you talk to the kids, and they know who their father is. You know, their blood father may be different, but, you know, I know who my dad is. He's the one who raised me. He was the one who was there. He was at my games, okay? You know, he was there for me, and he loved me. Oh, there's no blood relationship at all, but he's my father. He's my dad. And that's what counts, okay? That is what counts. We're to train up our children to be godly men and women. That's the goal. So, fathers, what are we to do? Well, first question today is, are you praying for your children? Are you praying for your children? Do you intercede for your children? Earlier I mentioned bringing up Job on Father's Day. How does that work? Well, I'll tell you how that works. Job is a really good book, okay? People think, oh, are there troubles and problems of Job? Job tells us a lot of things to do the right way. And one of those is pray for your children. You know, in the book of Job, it says that he prayed. He got up early in the morning. Okay, he got up early in the morning, and he offered sacrifices on behalf of all of his children. When did he do that? You know, it even tells us. It says, at the end of each week. What day? What day might that be? Shabbat. He got up early in the morning and made sacrifices for all of his, on behalf of all of his children. But look at what he says. He says, it may be that they have failed. Oh, anybody here have kids that have failed? If you're a parent, you can raise your hand on this one. No perfect kids, except for my grandkids, of course. They're the only perfect kids. And a couple of them are questionable, actually. So they've come close. It may be that they have failed and are not right with God. Ooh, look at this. He's interceding for his children because maybe they have failed and are not right with God. Therefore, I will intercede for them. And I will make a sacrifice on their behalf. Parents and grandparents, stand in the gap for your kids. Pray for your children. Intercede. You are the intercessors. Pray for your children. I mean, does God answer prayer or not? I mean, pray for your children, for their protection, for their safety. Maybe they have failed. Maybe they might fail. Okay, kids are kids. Anybody have any teenagers? Maybe with gray hair? If you don't have any teenagers, you will have gray hair during those years. All right? It's a trying time, and we did that to our parents too, huh? Well, difficult time. Pray, intercede for your kids. Are you making regular, scheduled, prioritized time to intercede for your children? And pray for each one by name. Don't say, Lord, I lift up my kids to you, amen. Pray for them by name. Name them. You start naming their issues and their problems and their weaknesses and their strengths, and praise God for those strengths, okay? Do you bless your children? Do you bless them? Or do you curse them? You know, do you complain about them? You belly aching about them? What does the book of Hebrews say about sacrifices today? Well, there's no temple. Sacrifices of praise from our lips. Are you praising God for your children? Are you thanking Him for what they can be? He's designed them to be something great. Are you praising Him for that? It's the giving of thanks. They're gifts. Do you praise God that He's given you a gift? Or is it a burden? Do you see that as a burden? Is it an it? It's a burden, this baby? I hope not. It's a gift of God. She or he is a gift of God. Do you pray the Aaronic benediction over them? Or is that something we just do at the end of a service? Well, I'd like you to consider praying the Aaronic benediction over your children. One of the most effective prayers that you can offer are prayers of praise and thanksgiving. Okay, invoking as you do it the name of Yeshua. It's a powerful, powerful name. And pray them over your children. Bless them in Yeshua's name. And do it out loud and do it in front of them so they can hear you and watch you. But turn to the Aaronic benediction. Okay, Numbers chapter 6. I want you to see something here. Maybe you've missed. Number 6. The Lord bless you. It says, first of all, it says, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. And say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. But the next line is really important. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I shall bless them. You can do that by blessing them in Yeshua's name, the name of the Messiah. Bless them in Yeshua's name. Do you do that? Do you do that? Do you make intercession on their behalf? I hope you do. How do you thank God for them? Do you thank God for their strengths? Do you intercede for their weaknesses? Do you thank God for your family in their presence? Do their children see you praying? You know, I recall one time, I remember my mother mentioning about my grandfather, that he was a man of prayer, that he prayed every day. And one precious time, I walked in his bedroom, and he was on his knees, and I could hear him praying for me. That was special. That was special. Okay, do your kids hear you praying for them? Do they see you? What do they see when they see you? What do they hear when they hear you speak about them? Is it always arguing, complaining, hollering? You'll never amount to anything. Is that what they hear? Or do they hear, you're going to be great. God has a plan for you. If you just do what he says here, you'll fulfill that plan, that purpose. You're here for a reason. Or I don't know why we have you. You know, how, what do they hear you say about them? Yeah? Is it criticism? Sometimes, you know, part of our role as fathers is that we are to represent God to our family, to our children. But sometimes we misrepresent him. Okay, how do you do that? Well, what are you like? Are you loving? Are you compassionate? Are you accessible to your children? If that's the case, it's maybe easy for a child to understand what God is like. Well, yeah, God's like my Abba, my Abba. Abba is like my Abba. I can talk to him anytime I want. I can walk in his office when he's busy, and he'll put the book down and talk to me. I can sit on his lap. If I have a problem, if I feel like crying, he'll hold me. Or is it the other way around? Do they see you as angry, bitter, critical, abusive, irresponsible, or maybe even not even present, not there? If that's the case, they're going to have a tough time figuring out what God is like. We talk about our Heavenly Father. What does that mean? What's the connection? We represent God to them through teaching. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, but you are their teacher too. He's to speak through you to them. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. There's lots of family stuff in Ephesians. Whoops, my Bible is falling apart at the seams here. Okay. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, the last part especially, well, let's look at the first part. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You know what? Think about that. You can push them to a place of where their response is anger. The Bible says don't do that. Don't provoke your children. You're to discipline. It's clear about discipline. But provoking is different. Don't provoke them. Because at that point, the only response is anger. That's not what God wants. Discipline, what does discipline do? What does it provoke? The end result is they come over and they put their arms around you. Okay? That's what discipline provokes. This is the opposite of that. But the next part of that verse is what I wanted to get to. Bring them up, let's train them up and raise them, in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's your job, dads. Fathers, that's what you're supposed to do. But if you don't know what that is, how can you do that? See, that's where the responsibility comes in. Your role in Scripture is to do this. But who often does it? It's the mother that often does it. Praise God for moms, but the Bible talks about the dad's role is to do this. is to be a godly man in front of his children, living the life, the role model, by being the example. Fathers, teach your children. It says that over and over and over again. Fathers, teach your children. It also says, fathers, love your wives in front of your children. You know where security comes in? Is when they know that their dad loves their mom. Come on up front, kids, and sit right here, okay? You're doing very good at being quiet. This is absolutely amazing. Come on up here and sit down in these chairs. I recall in a Shabbat school a number of years ago, you can tell sometimes when the kids are having a bad day, okay? I recall one time where this one little girl was having a tough day. And so I kind of knelt down. It's okay, come on in, guys. You can sit on the floor, too. Floor's fine. It's okay, floor's good. I'm almost done with this part. And so I can tell she's having a tough day, and I went over and I kneeled down to her, and I said, is everything okay? And as the tears began to come, you know what she said to me? And then she grabs a hold of me. She says, my daddy doesn't love my mommy anymore. Whoa, that's what she's perceiving at home, okay? I'll tell you what, they need to see the opposite. They need to know, you know, where security comes in is that I know my dad loves my mom. They may have an argument now and then, but I know my dad loves my mom. I grew up in a home. There's not time to go into all that, but I was very blessed and fortunate to have the home that I did. And my dad and mom used to lay on the couch. We would watch TV and stuff at night with my sister and I. We were there, and they would lay on the couch and kiss and smooch and snuggle, okay? And we'd go, oh, man, Dad. But you know what? There was security in that. I knew my dad loved my mom. You know? That was kind of cool. It wasn't just, well, no, there's no physical contact. They would embrace. They would hold each other. They would kiss each other right in front of us, which was neat to see. I never doubted he loved my mom and vice versa, and that they loved me. Express emotion. Touch your children. Hold them. Okay? Not just when they're in trouble and crying and stuff. Grab them, hold on to them, let them know. Okay, if I woke up to my grandkids, and I'll grab any one of them, I say, do you know who loves you? You know what they say? They say, you do. I say, yeah, I do. And they laugh, and they say, God does. I say, yeah, he does too. Okay. They need to know that you love them because you not only show it, but you tell them. Speaking of that, why are you here? Who's in charge of this crowd? Let's get a mic here because they have something for all of you. Let's see what it might be. This mic is going on and mine's going off.
Shabbat shalom. Father's Day weekend's a really hard time for me. Thank you. I lost my father 18 years ago. I didn't get to tell him all the things I wanted to before he was gone. So I still regret a lot. I've been trying to teach these children to remind you every day how much they love you. So they have a few things to say to you. I gave them a list because you can't give them blank paper or you get no answers. I had some suggestions of the funniest thing. I'll never forget the time. He's special to me because, and I love the... So, who's first?
Me!
Yeah. Come on, Rebecca. This is Rebecca, and Miss Ayel's going to give her a hand. Come here. Turn around. Turn around. Can you say hi? Hi. Hola. Hola.
Hi.
There we go.
What's that? The funniest thing is when you tickle me.
Come on, nice and loud. You're okay. It's hard being in front of all of you.
I'll never forget the time when he took me to see a movie.
Dad took you to see a movie? Yeah.
He's special to me. He's special to me because he takes me riding on my bike.
Are you riding two wheels? Got training wheels, yeah. He's got a nice bike.
I love the way he plays with me.
Daddy likes to play.
The funniest thing is when he put water inside his soda and we drink it like a soda. I'll never forget the time he forgot me at the store and almost went home without me. He's special to me because he always listens to me when I have a problem. And I love his cooking as well.
Now Becca's going to bring David up. So this should be interesting.
Good morning. The funniest thing is you.
Especially because you are my dad.
I don't know.
Okay.
A little louder.
He's special to me because you are dad.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Can you explain this picture to your daddy? Show him your picture. See? Go sit down.
The funniest thing is that you are an over 6 foot tall mouse. I'll never forget the time you told me to put some Aunt Jemima syrup on when I was supposed to get ready for bed. He's special to me because I chose him as my new daddy when I was 4 and the other father figure died. Failed. I love the way he teaches me to fix my 1972 Chevy half ton.
The funniest thing is your butt.
No. Jokes.
But.
No, don't.
What? I know how to read without it.
Do you
want
to say it?
No. I like to play Batman Begins the Toys.
Yeah.
Oh. No. Yeah, I'm done. I only write that.
Okay. The funniest thing, funniest thing to my dad is like when I'm in a plane and he's doing whoop-de-doos and I'm like screaming and yelling and they're thinking in the plane where he goes like that, that's not fun to me. Yeah. I'll never forget the times when he takes me flying and he takes me to the car races. He's special to me because he adopted me, and I love that he drives me everywhere and gets me frappuccinos.
By the way, kid, I want to see too. Go ahead. He's almost as tall as I am. Okay, the funniest thing
with my dad, what does that say? When he tickles me. Oh, here.
Okay. I'll never forget the time.
And he took me to the pool. Oh, dear. It's so funny. What does that say? I can't read it.
Oh, it's because I wrote it.
He is fun to be with. Pool. Because he took me with the pool. Sorry, everybody.
Okay, we need to have.
Hunter go with his mom, Michael to go with his dad, and David to go with his mom or dad. Okay.
The funniest thing is when he took us to the park and he was saying peace, love, hate, and war, and trying to catch me, Kiara, and Hunter. I never forget the time when he took me to the movies. He's special to me because he's always there for me. I love the way he plays with me.
Oh, thank you for this.
The funniest thing he did when he was playing with me, he said, peace, love, hate, and war. I'll never forget the time when he took me to see a movie. He's special to me because he taught me how to ride a bike. I love the way he plays with me.
The funniest thing is his jokes. I'll never forget the time I beat him at basketball. He's special to me because he always does stuff with me, and I love him very much.
The funniest thing was when I tried to hug you, but you ended up chasing me around the house. You were kind of creepy. I'll never forget the first time when we got my cello. How long do we stay up playing that? He's special to me because he's my dad. That's the biggest reason, literally. I love the way, different ways he'd laugh. It's crazy.
The funniest thing is something I don't remember. I'll never forget the time we had in Israel. He is special to me because he is my dad. I love the way he plays with me.
The funniest thing is that he told us jokes. I never forget the time when he scared me. He's special to me because he's the one that answers my questions even if he doesn't like it. I love the things that he does, like tell jokes.
Hi.
Hello. Okay.
The funniest thing is my dad's jokes. They crack me up. I'll never forget the time when we spend time together. He's special to me because he's my dad. I love the way he takes care of me.
The funniest thing is when you and Josh start fighting in the hallway. I'll never forget the time when you took us all to Israel. He's special to me because, well, he's my dad. I love ice cream that he buys me, or not. I could just really love ice cream. Woo! You're next.
Hi. The funniest thing is when you play with me. The funniest thing is my dad's joke. He makes me laugh really hard. I'll never forget the time when we play together. He's special to me because he's my best dad in the whole world. I love you so much, Dad.
Hello. The funniest thing is when he acts weird in a funny way. And then I'll never forget the time when Teresa and Bruce got married, my dad. He's special because he's my dad and he always makes me laugh. And the one thing I love is always the food he makes.